Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And boy, are we going to be going for it this morning. My guest today, Barbara Miller, has put together a book, Dancing in Rhythm with the Universe. Now, doesn't that grab your mind? It's absolutely wonderful. 10 Steps to Choreographing Your Best Life. Now, there are so many people that I interview on my show, and I really appreciate all of the diversity in the way of being able to approach how to empower oneself, one's life. And Barbara, who not only is a writer, she does speaking, she's a master life coach, and she is the president of Barbara and Company International, Inc. She lives in Florida, where the sun always seems to shine. And she's with us today because the story that she has to share, I think, is a very good one. And we always learn from stories that people share with us. And Barbara, I'm delighted to have you with us today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be with you.
Now, you open your book, and this is, I'm going to quote it directly from your book. Imagine the entire universe dancing and spinning all around you, complete with beautiful lights and sounds. You are directing a special symphony to an expanding orchestra and are choreographing your own dance. Life will manifest your dance exactly as you instructed. It's your turn. Shall we dance? That opening right there, I thought, was a wonderful, wonderful way to start out your book. And then when I turn the page and I find out that you moved to Florida, Naples, Florida, in fact, and everything that could go wrong, it was like Murphy's Law was really operating in full focus. Let's start with your journey. What happened and why was it so changing for you?
Well, first of all, I had gone through just a heart-wrenching divorce. And I write about that in my first book, You Lost Your Marriage, Not Your Life. So this is an extension, really, to encourage women that you can have life after divorce. It doesn't end with divorce, even though it seems like it. And I was at that stage where I had gone through my divorce. I had recovered. Some time had gone by. And I decided that I needed a total change. And I sold everything I had, most of what I had, and everything else I packed in a truck and went to Florida, where I had always wanted to live, and moved everything there and started my new life.
Yes, you did, but I had to chuckle to myself because the people that did the moving for you, they were the nightmare from hell when it comes to the moving experience.
Yes, they were.
Oh, my goodness. And I thought, here we go. This has gone on in your personal life. You make a move. You find that the people that are supposed to know what they're doing really have no intention of doing anything. They're out of shape. They can't move anything. You're having a terrible time. But there was this wonderful man named Phil.
Yes.
Came into the picture. Tell us about Phil.
When everything was going so horribly and the three out-of-shape men were threatening to quit and leave, and I had hired them from a local halfway house. And so you don't know who's going to turn up. And they were threatening to quit. They weren't going to finish the job. We had a truck to unload, and I was there all by myself. And this man named Phil, who seemed to work there at the apartment complex where I was moving into, came walking in, and he wanted to know what was going on, and I just told him that all the men were going to leave, they weren't going to help. He said, I'll come and I'll help you, and I'll act as foreman, and I'll keep them moving. And he did. And it was just a miracle. It was truly a miracle. He disappeared from my life almost as quickly as he entered, but he sure was there for a reason.
Well, it was just a wonderful, wonderful story. Now, something, Barbara, that you do throughout your book, because your book is about empowering women, but I also think a man could read this book and really benefit from it as well, because it gives perspectives that I think are very healthy perspectives to really look at. And you talk about other women that and tell their stories. One is Sandra. Now, Sandra's story, when you start reading it, it's like a Cinderella story. And what little girl hasn't heard the story of Cinderella, and she's going to end up coming out with a pumpkin that's going to turn into this fairy tale carriage, and you're going to marry your prince, and everything's going to be just hunky-dory, just peachy keen. But nobody ever finds out what happens to Cinderella afterwards. They know what happened before and all the lessons she had to go through.
That's right.
She ends up meeting this guy, and he is absolutely a dreamboat, very wealthy. Just, I mean, you couldn't have asked for anything more perfect. And he is a Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde. And I know as a counselor, I've seen women go through this before. Nothing new in the human experience. But she had to really, really wake up so that she could gain her life back. Tell us a little bit more detail about Sandra's story.
Sandra loved her lifestyle, and she loved this man, not really believing. And she had actually been told by this man's ex-wife that she would be beaten if she married him. And she thought that was ridiculous. She couldn't believe such a thing because they'd been together for a couple of years. He had never, ever laid a hand on her. But once they were married and the guard was down, he began to become not just hit her, but become violently threatening to her, to where at one point he almost did kill her by throwing a big glass thing at her that cut her leg severely, and she almost bled to death before she got to the hospital. That was when she knew she was going to die if she stayed in this relationship. And her friend kept trying to get her out of it and finally did succeed in getting her out. But he became a stalker and was so afraid that she was going to leave, and he had to control the situation, that he stalked her constantly. And she would try to get away, and she would know he was watching her. And it became so paralyzing for her that she was afraid to leave. But the friend convinced her to work out a plan and sneak her out of the house, and the friend would watch, and the friend would know when he was at work, and take her to the shelter for abused women and children, which she did do. And then she was able to get away and to get a divorce. But he still threatened her that he would still find her and kill her.
This is a very big issue, and it's something that the level of violence that goes on is just horrific. And one of the things that you say in your book that we need to remember, we're all princesses, and we have to stand up for ourselves. And this is something she had to regain.
She
pretty much had this when she became involved with him and was with him for a few years and then ends up marrying him. And little by little, she felt totally disempowered. And a lot of it is social conditioning. There's the aspect when you get married, then the woman is the property of the man. This goes back generations. And it goes back to European. I mean, it still exists in many different cultures throughout the world. Women are nothing more than property. And even though she was a modern-day woman, and she knew that that isn't the truth, that indoctrination kicked in with such force that she felt totally disempowered. So she would have to literally rewire her thinking to come out of that, because she was going back into old grooves of indoctrination.
That's right. That's absolutely
an incredible
right.
thing. It's an incredible thing.
And much of that comes from childhood as well. We're taught that the men have all the control, the men have everything to say, and we have no control over our own life. And that affected me in many of my decisions later in my life, that I came from a violent household, and this woman did also from her childhood. Mm-hmm. And that impacts our life. And as adults, unless we deal with that and we can recognize that that's the thief of your identity, that
yes,
you don't
yes.
have to let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we think we do. We think we have no control. But you do. You do have control.
Yes. And things can be taught to you, even by the women in your life. In fact,
yes.
more of it's by the women, believe it or not. So until women awaken to the reality of their own individuality, and they don't have to be victims. They don't need to just accept this division. It's a whole level of thinking. It doesn't mean you demean men. It means you respect yourself. You don't put yourself in the company of those people that are going to in any way demean you. You don't accept that. You don't. This is not going to be in your space. Thank you very much. Take your demeaning attitudes someplace else. Don't bring them into my space. I'm not even going to take it as a joke. This is very hard, I think, for anyone, male or female, but especially women. And again, it goes back to a lot of training. And I love your chapter on intention, because I think that that is so important. Intention. What does it mean to you, Barbara? When you did this chapter, what was it that motivated you to specifically address that one word, intention?
Because I think it stems from within, and from what you have always been taught has to be changed. And that intention is basically, who are you and what do you want for your life? That's your intention. Who do you want to be? What spells and speaks of you? And I think, bombarded with negative thought and dialogue and taking the right action to bring your intellect into alignment with your desires, these are all moving. You don't want to be moving from a place of fear. To realize your intention, you have to first look at yourself and recognize that you do have intention. You do want to move to your own place of power. And until you recognize that, you're still going to be treated badly.
Goal.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, there's so many levels to that. And I speak both from a personal level of experience. I think to be able to really look at ourselves, we need to be able to have time to do that. We need to have time set aside. We need to get away from the busyness of whatever's going on around us. Whether we're young, middle age, older, I don't care. At any moment, you can accept your rightful inheritance, which is you. You.
Yes.
And the gifts you have, the talents you have. And sometimes we have had, just like the initial lady we talked about, that a violence in the life, and then it keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. And I had one client just recently, she's in her 50s, and she said, you know what, you gave me some material, Donna, I never realized I didn't like myself. I didn't love myself. And people get so confused with that four-letter word, love. It's supposed to be something way out there, and it is a matter of self-respect. It's a matter of self-appreciation, self-esteem. We've got so many words, but it's a feeling. It's that awareness that no matter who you are, where you are, who you're with, what's going on, you like who you are. You're comfortable in your own skin, with or without other people acknowledging it. It's just being there. But that's a process. You had to go through the process, didn't you?
Yes, and it has to come from within. I truly myself that even though I didn't like going through a divorce, I didn't like having my husband leave me for a 20-year-old, but or one 20 years younger, I should say. She was in her 30s. I didn't like that. But I could let that bother me for the rest of my life, or I could just finally step away from that and say, you know, that really doesn't define me because my husband left me for a younger woman. And I think then realizing that I had a choice, that I could move on with my life or I could stay mired in the past. And I wanted to move on. Not at first. Women don't always want to move on. They want to wallow in their pain, and they want everyone to help them fix it. They don't want to be told you should move on or you need to have your own life now. They don't want that. And until you can come to grips with that and step apart and look at yourself and say, do I want this? You have to really examine your own life. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wrote the chapter on Dance of Solitude. Step apart and look at yourself. Take time with yourself and realize what you really want for your own life. Then you'll know your own intention for your life.
I had to chuckle at one story that you have in your book. When you had, when a day spa was opened and your daughter walked into your office and wanted to know why you had pictures of your smiling guru, that's what she called him.
Yes.
And who's the dead man on your desk?
Napoleon Hill. Sorry, Napoleon.
You know, that's such a good visual, kid walking in. What's the dead guy doing on your desk? And you told her, these are your advisors.
Yes.
And you were following one of Napoleon Hill's recommendations about having a board of directors.
Yes, I was.
Of famous people. And so you told her about masterminding, and she just sort of raised an eyebrow and said, Mom, you know, you better not tell anybody about this because somebody's going to think you're a little loopy. That was her word that she used. But then she got curious, and she said, can I do the same thing? You know, why does it work for you? So you were a very good role model for him. But, you know, I just find your story about other people very, very powerful. And I love the quote in your book, and there's one by Howard Thurman that says, if you cannot hear the sound of the genuine in you, you will all of your life spend your days on the ends of strings that somebody else pulls.
That's true, and it even goes back to the woman who was abused and beaten by her husband. She hadn't found the genuine in her, and he was still pulling all the strings. And that's what's so important for women. I just wanted so much for women to get from this book that they are so special and everything that they need is inside of them. It just needs to be pulled out. It needs to be found. It's in there. And shining a light on it by looking within and doing meditation and even seeking out the self-help books. I mean, they have helped me over the years tremendously. Mm-hmm. And I think there are different ways. For some women, they really need a counselor. They desperately do. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them, you know, get some help because there's help out there. And I spoke of my turned out to be a great friend over the years who counseled me when I was in such trouble. And he was precious and didn't even charge me for counseling me. He was a lay counselor, but nonetheless, he was a very good person and a very good counselor. And so there are people out there who can help you. And I strongly urge women to do that. But I also strongly urge you to stay in contact with your dear friends and relatives who support you, but not people who want to have a pity party with you, but people who will support you and urge you to just move on and find your own path, because it's all there, and you will recognize it. You will recognize it. It's in there. It just needs to have some help to bring it to the surface for you to see.
Your daughter, Allison, she was 3 years old. And three-year-olds are very precocious, and your daughter was obviously one of them.
Yes.
But she said to you one day, out of the blue, that she was scared. And you ask her why. And I'm going to quote directly from your book. She said, "I'm scared because everyone is cardboard, and I am the only one who is real. And you are cardboard, and I'm afraid you're going to disappear, and I'm going to be left all alone."
It's absolutely a true story.
Out of a three-year-old's mouth.
Yes, and it shocked me.
That is powerful.
Yeah. It was so powerful that it just shook me. And I do believe, as I also stated in the book, that she was picking up on my quelled spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I had been really, really depressed, and I was probably about 30, really depressed and suffering from my past and never having dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing how to deal with it. And I was really going through some serious depression. She saw that. And it, you know, what makes a child see you as cardboard and that you're not real is just such a mystery. But she did. And it wasn't until I began to recognize and change by the counseling that I got from my friend Hugh and going to this Bible study that a friend took me to, that I began to see my value and how valuable a person I really am. But
mm-hmm.
I never knew that before, and I never saw that before. And after that happened, and I began to become stronger and stronger in my faith and in my sureness of myself, was when she then told me that I was real. I had
mm-hmm.
become real,
mm-hmm.
and she saw it.
And you were no longer cardboard, and she wasn't scared anymore.
That's right.
That's quite powerful. Now, you have in your book a story about the princess and the frog, and I love this version. I thought this was so cool, because there's been t-shirts, that have been done through the years. It'll say, you have to kiss a lot of frogs, find a prince. And that is awful. But anyway, you come up with a new one, and most people know the story about the princess and the frog, but I just like the way you twisted it. Tell us how it was shifted and changed.
Well, the story starts out, a lovely princess is sitting in her garden, enjoying her morning meditations and writing in her positive thoughts journal, when a slimy green frog jumps in the middle of her book. And much to her amazement, the green creature begins to speak. "Please, my dear lady, one kiss. I was with a handsome prince, and I was cast to this lowly creature by the wicked witch, forced to dine on flies and bugs just to sustain myself." And the story goes on how he needs a kiss, just one kiss, and we can marry, and we can live in your castle, and you can take care of me, and we'll have wonderful children, and you can take care of us, and sew beautiful things for us, and cook and sew, and my mother, the queen, was cast out of the kingdom and forced to live as a commoner, and she can come and live with us. And Mom can be restored as queen. And in the evenings, after, I retire to the drawing room to read the kingdom news and to reflect on the day, you can clean up the kitchen, take the children, give them their baths, pet them in bed, read them bedtime stories, and serve Mom her evening tea, while I meet you in the drawing room to reflect on our wonderful life together. And that's when the princess slams the book shut. And that evening, as candlelight danced on the castle wall, you could hear her exclaim, "Flies, bugs, and Mom living in my castle with a green frog? That just doesn't work for me." And the moral of the story is, never kiss a frog.
That is true. I love this.
And if you want to see me talking about it, it's on my website. Under videos.
You have a quote by John Muir. It says, everyone needs beauty as well as bread, places to play in and pray in, where nature may heal and give strength to body and soul. And you have a very good section in your book on wellness, on health. And this is something that I think is so important. Too many times, men and women both get so engrossed in whatever their drama might be that they really forget to take care of themselves. And women are notorious for doing this. And then all of a sudden, they end up having ailments and problems, and they don't realize the association of the mind, body, spirit. And it's so critical because it's so integrated. We really need to pay attention to that. And being good to the self, being good to the body, doesn't mean that you have to step away from chocolate or champagne or caviar, if that's what you like.
No, they're all good for you anyway.
Yeah, but it's using good sense. It really is. It's giving yourself time. And I know that one of my ways of handling stress is going out for a long walk. It just absolutely works magic for me.
And that is good.
It is. It's wonderful. And all of us need something. I have a friend, she goes out ballroom dancing twice a week. That's it. She doesn't give it up for anybody. And I went, good for you.
Good for her, yes.
It is so important. Why is it that we women think that this is something that we should avoid? Why should there not be joy with staying physically well and fit?
That is one of life's big mysteries for me. I see so many women. And in the days where I worked as a medical esthetician with plastic surgeons, and the women are all coming in getting facelifts because, oh, their husband left them, or this happened and that happened, and they're trying to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many other things that could be done to make them a better them. And having a facelift, if that's what you want to do, I'm all for it. I think it's great. But it's not going to fix your body. That needs to be something that you control of what you do to nurture your body. It needs to be a love affair. You love your body. You need it to protect you. It needs you to protect it. You are the gatekeeper to what goes in this amazing body. And to fill it with junk and abuse is not going to be a way that's going to serve you well. And I, having been married to a physician, I would go on some of the rounding. You can lose your strength in 5 days by laying in a bed, in a hospital bed. And you absolutely have to keep strong. You don't want to wind up in a wheelchair because you've had a stroke. That is a terrible way to live. And I saw so much of that. That is not a way that I want to age. And it doesn't mean bad things can't happen to you, but we can certainly work to make good things happen that are in our control.
Absolutely. Well, Barbara Miller, your book, Dancing in Rhythm with the Universe, is a delight, and I think it would be a great addition to anyone's library. And people can find out more about you and your other publications, your business, by going to barbaraandcompany.com. Everything is spelled out, barbaraandcompany.com. It's been a delight having you as a guest. Continued success. I understand you're working on your next book, and thank you for being a guest on my show, and you'll have to send me your new book when you get it.
I shall. Thank you for having me.
It's been a delight, Barbara. Barbara Miller, Dancing in Rhythm with the Universe. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and do another dance of a different type. We'll be back in just a moment.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. 888-627-6008 is the toll-free telephone number you can call into. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then just relax. I'll tell you what I perceive. Then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that might be of concern to you. That number again is 888-627-6008. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about contagious optimism. David Mezepel has put together a wonderful, wonderful publication that you could just dip into periodically and just feel better from reading it. There's just a lot of good material, so we're going to be talking with him tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Tom Moore about first contact. Do you believe in ETs? Well, Tom has had that experience, and his book, First Contact, is all about that. And then Brad Worthley. Brad is a repeat guest on my show. He's come out with a new book, ADD is a Gift, Not a Disorder. Brad talks about how he is attention learning, you know, he's deficit. His brain works differently. But you know what? He figured out how to use it in a positive way. And ADD runs in the family. So we're going to be hearing his story as well. With my previous guest, we were talking Dancing in Rhythm with the Universe. There is a gentleman. His name is Farley. And Farley is in Portland, Oregon, and he works at part-time at the Mount Scott Community Center there. And he said he's a DJ. Yes, he's a DJ for dancers. And he said it is something that he absolutely loves to do. Now, a little background on Farley. He used to be a priest. He is no longer. But he is an administrator in his real job work at an engineering firm. And he became interested in this. And it was because someone said, we have a group of people. They are disabled. They're of all ages, and they are in need of a social life. They need to have some social activity, and they all love music. Well, he decided that he was going to volunteer for this. Now, his volunteering started 28 years ago. Yes, he absolutely loves it. And so on the first Friday evening of every month, there's about close to 200 people. Their age range from 25 to 55 years of age, and some of them even older. All of them, again, developmentally disabled. And he said, we start off with rock and roll, and he said, it is absolutely wonderful. All of this is volunteer for him. And he said, they love to dance. And these people that otherwise would be socially isolated, their friends, their families, bring them to this event, the first Friday of every month. And Farley is there making and creating magic. And he said, it is amazing what music does. They love to dance. They just have a great time. And he said, there has just been this development of friendship through the years that he said is absolutely wonderful. And he said, every time he does this event, he said, there's not a dance that goes by that he doesn't have tears in his eyes, just when he sees the wonderful interaction. You never know how you're volunteering for something or being connected in some way in a community event, the impact you have. I'm sure Farley, when he started this, just didn't have a clue that it was going to go on for 28 years of his life, and he's doing it now. He's 68. He started when he was 40. I mean, this is incredible. But it brings him a lot of joy. And I think that is something that we need to remember. It's not all about money. There's nothing wrong with money. We all need it. I bless it. Having abundance is great. But there's something that just feeds our soul, feeds our spirit. And that is something that Farley found, and I wanted to share his story with you. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I was sent a story by Guy Finley, and I thought I would share it with you. And it is about sexual discrimination and an event that he attended. And I thought it was a very powerful story because it involved him directly. And Guy Finley is a very highly respected author, and he's a wonderful guy. But before I do that, I want to touch on something quickly, and that is scams. We're always going to have scammers. There's always the con artists that are wanting to separate you from your money. Well, the elderly always are a big target, and so many times they will seek out people that maybe are alone or really don't have people around them to advise them, and they get scared, and it's easy for them to get frightened. And so many times they are talking about, oh, we can do a reverse mortgage for you, or you can do something with your IRA. There's one called the 876, and it was called the 876 scam, the lottery, or the 876 scam. I had never really heard very much about it. I vaguely recall something that I got in an email from someone a long time ago. But this occurred in New England. A lot of seniors were victimized over the phone because of this scam, and it was named after the Jamaican area code from which the calls, many of the calls, originated. Now, the criminal tells the victim he's just won a large sum in a lottery, then tries to gain the victim's trust through repeat phone calls and by using Google Earth to feign familiarity with his community. Once they have the person's trust, they're encouraged to wire a process fee to the criminal. The Federal Trade Commission received 30,000 complaints about this scam in 2012. However, this is what we need to be aware of. These scams are basically the same old scams that have been done for generations, but they are totally unsolicited. And I know we here at the office will get many times these automated phone calls, and they're unsolicited, and they're on automatic dial. They've got all of these tremendous data systems that they use. So you just hang up. You just hang up. You don't engage them in conversation. Also, if you're looking for a financial advisor, I came across something in the Consumer Reports that I thought was very good information, and I wanted to share it with you. I'm going to quote directly to know how to evaluate financial credentials, a financial advisor's credentials. And this is what they said. The alphabet soup of financial designations like CFP for Certified Financial Planner is tough enough for consumers to navigate, but now there's a whole new slew of financial designations, many of which have the word senior attached to them. They want to appeal to retirees who are seeking financial counsel. Here are some of the terms: Certified Senior Advisor, Chartered Senior Financial Planner, Registered Financial Gerontologist. Just, there's over 50 terms that are being used today. So the value of a lot of these designations, there's nothing behind it. It's very questionable. So to become a certified financial planner takes at least 2 years of supervised financial planning experience. But some of the less common designations that you'll hear about require no coursework, and the training course might not even be a week long. So here we are in the world today where if you find out about a certified financial planner, you really are going to have to do some homework, because not everybody that has CFP behind their name is really going to be qualified, just like attorneys or like any other person in a professional positioning. What is their reputation? What is their background? And sometimes we really have to be a little distrustful. More than using that word, I think we have to be an investigator. We have to ask ourselves, what do we really want? And being involved in whatever financial planning you do, and reading and checking with different people, talking with different people, very, very important. Because what works for one person in a financial plan may not work for another. So just keep in mind, if something sounds too good to be true, hang up, have a smile on your voice, and say goodbye. Keep your money in your own wallet, in your own account, and you'll be a lot happier. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 888-627-6008. I have a cute little story I want to share with you before we go on break. It says, a week after John bought a bull, he complained to his friend, all that bull does is eat grass, won't even look at a cow. Friend said, take him to a vet. Next week, John is much happier. The vet gives him some pills, and the bull serviced all of my cows, he told his pal. Then he broke through the fence and bred with all of my neighbor's cows. He's like a machine. What kind of pills were there? Asked the friend. He said, I don't know, but they've got a peppermint taste. Anyway, let's go to a break. I know it's corny. It's just one of those days. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome back. If you want to give me a buzz and want to chat, 888-627-6008. Guy Finley sent this story, and it was quite a powerful one. And the story is a personal experience. experience he had. He said that he had been at a particular meeting. And he said, this goes back a few years. It was during Bill Clinton's second term. He said he was hired to give the opening keynote speech at an annual conference of a very large restaurant chain. Guy does a lot of talk, a lot of speaking engagements. And he said about 300 of their general managers were present, as well as the majority of the corporate leadership team. Now, at the very last minute, the founder of this restaurant chain announced that he wished to talk to the group himself, so it was decided that the program would start early. He'd speak, there'd be a short break, and then Guy was going to kick off the program just the way everything had been planned. No problem. Well, he thought he would learn something by listening to the founder's remarks. His wife was with him on this trip, and she said she didn't care. She wasn't interested. And she had taken along her knitting because she goes to so many of these events with Guy. She just knows what he's going to say. So she brings along stuff to do. And so he said, okay. She had her knitting, her novel, and he slipped into the room that the meeting was being held in. Now, the speaker, the founder of this restaurant chain, made a comment. This was a comment. He said he couldn't understand why President Clinton had been so poorly treated for what was nothing more than a minor sexual indiscretion. And he then went on to do this. He went on to invite anyone who had never committed a minor sexual indiscretion to stand. He said, no surprise, no one stood up. You're hearing me correctly. Guy said a few minutes later, the founder remarked that he was surprised that out of 300 managers, not a single one had stood when they were challenged by his statement, his question. So again, he invited anyone who had never committed a minor sexual indiscretion to stand. Nobody moved. The meeting broke up, and he went to tell his wife, Guy did, that what this guy had done. She turned around and she looked at him. She said, well, did you stand? He said, I'm a guest speaker, honey. I'm the fly on the wall. I wasn't thinking of getting into the boss and getting into it with the boss. And she just sort of looked at him. And he said, I don't think it's such a hot idea. I'm the hired speaker. However, when he listened to himself talk, Guy said it bothered him a great deal. He didn't like what he had said to his wife. When he started his program, Guy said he was only into speaking for about 10 minutes when he just stopped cold, and he said, I have to say something. I can't go on with my program because I have to make a comment. I was in the back of the room when all of you were asked to stand if you had never committed a minor sexual indiscretion. I am embarrassed that I did not stand up then, but I want you to know that I am standing up now. Now, Guy said, I'm not going to tell you what the audience reaction was. One could use their imagination. But he was very, very thoughtful about this experience. He said the founder had given the green light for his managers to commit minor sexual indiscretions. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, giving permission to commit minor sexual indiscretions is wrong. Committing minor sexual indiscretions is very wrong. Not standing when challenged is wrong. Every generation needs, and he emphasized the word needs in capital letters, role models that have substance as well as a little backbone. He said, in case you cannot see me, I am standing. And I thought, this is so significant. Have you ever had a situation where you spoke out when nobody else was willing to do it? I'd like to share with you a story when I did it. I was in my 20s. I had been raised that you never, ever spoke up to your elders. You never, ever made a comment to someone that had gray hair, so to speak, because you were young, you didn't know any better. Well, I happened to be attending a choir rehearsal for a church that I was involved with, And a wonderful group of people, absolutely great group of people. But in this grouping, there was a woman who hated black people. And the majority of the choir was Caucasian, and they were going to bring in this black person that I knew personally. I had a number of black friends, and I knew this person personally, and I was thrilled. They had a lovely singing voice. Well, this woman's name, who is Catherine, she stood up and she was furious. She let out all kinds of feelings about how this was inappropriate, this person should not be allowed in. And I can remember sitting there, and I was in my early 20s, and I was just very upset with her. And I made the comment, nobody said a word. It was exactly what happened with Guy Finley's group. Nobody moved. Nobody said anything. Even the choir director, who's supposed to be the boss, didn't say anything. I spoke up. I said, Catherine, you are wrong. There is nothing wrong with having a person of color in the choir. Nothing wrong at all. You are out of place. This is very poor behavior. Now, I can remember being in my early 20s. I was going against everything that I was taught. But I just couldn't let this go by. I could not. And I remember quivering inside because I just thought, oh, I'm breaking all the protocols. Do you know what? She was furious. They let the person into the choir. But Catherine had, with all of her anger and all of her resentment that she was carrying, she was going to tell everybody else what to do. And she was going to set paradigms that were totally inappropriate. Here I was, a younger person, making a comment. She never talked to me again. Do you know, everyone in that choir came around to me and said, you did the right thing. But just like what Guy experienced, I had the same experience. I've even been in experiences where I have said something that just terrified people because it caused them to say, I don't want to listen to this. You're telling me something that could possibly be true. I don't want to hear it. And they walk away. Many times when I would teach classes, I'd ask, what if this positioning of thought was presented to you? How would you look at it? What if this or that or the other? And so many times I found people walked away because they didn't want whatever they were in mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually to be touched. They didn't want it challenged. They were afraid. We always need to remember that we have a right to stand up. We have a right when we know our own truth, when we know who we are, to stand strong in that understanding, and to use that wisdom to help others see that they don't have to stay stuck. Guy's story I wanted to share with you because I've had personal experiences with the same thing, and I'm sure you have too. All of this is meant to empower us as people. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're in charge of you, and you should be grateful for that. I always will emphasize this. Don't ever turn your life over to someone else. Walk beside people, but learn about the beauty that's inside of you. Whether you're a man or woman, it doesn't make any difference. You need to know that you're special, you have a value, and I am so delighted you've opted to spend your time with me today. Thank you for being a guest. I invite you back. Won't you come and join me again tomorrow for some contagious optimism? This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.